He is shaping us, and there is an enemy. We don't talk about an enemy often, maybe not often enough, but there is an enemy that wants to bring challenges into our life. We're going to be in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, titled, Don't Worry. I was so tempted to bring that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, you know, somehow, just, or at least have somebody whistle it. But again, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34 is where we're going to be today. And we're studying. We're studying in depth. We're looking at every detail of the Sermon on the Mount. And last week, Jesus was teaching about we ended up of how you can't serve both God and wealth. And why I bring that in to this today is because where it's going to start off in verse 25, it says, for this reason. Or maybe your translation says, therefore. And so this passage is still dealing with that, with this, with a society at this time, and I believe we would all agree that a society at this time who can be one who is in pursuit of wealth and a pursuit of materialistic things, and not a thing just because of the things that we need, but when we study this and we look at this, it's in a worshipful way, where we can't worship both God and money. Where almost when you look at the word and the translation and all, to where we've personified it, to where we got to pursue it and we seek it more than we seek the Lord. And so because of this, because that is there, God speaks to this, and we often would pursue it maybe because of anxiety and of worry, of needs and things that we see in this world. So it's continuing in that lesson. And Father in heaven, as we open up your word, as we study it, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and open up our ears. Lord, prepare us for whatever your Holy Spirit has for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this reason, in verse 25, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the fields grow, or of the field grow, and do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I thought I'd get some more amens about that, for each day has enough trouble of its own. Oh, here we go. And it's clear you can't miss the first point. And Jesus is so clear in this passage. The first point is do not worry. Oh, easier said than done, isn't it? Oh, and he says, do not worry. And again, he says, don't worry about your life. And here he's talking to men at this time, a little bit over or about 2,000 years ago. And he speaks to the necessities of life. Do not worry about your life and about your food, about your drink, what you will wear. And in this day and age, in our country, it's hard to imagine about worrying for those things. But the reality in most of the world, water, in some of the parts of the world, I should say, water is a difficult thing to find. Some of the greatest ministries that we have in third world countries are those who are digging wells for people who can't find fresh water. There's just tons of stories that we have about that. About water is a big deal. About food. There are children in our school system in Escambia County. I know of one story of one in Navy Point. A couple miles down the road to where the child, and I've shared the story I think with you before, but where the child was coming to school and the teacher noticed that the child just looked like he was dirty and getting dirtier and wearing the same clothes, and kind of went up and encouraged him and put a little notch on the back of his tag just to see if that was going to be the same shirt tomorrow. And sure enough, and it was the same shirt the whole week. And then the child comes home or comes to school that next on that Friday, and the principal, the teacher told the principal, and the principal talks to the child, and come to find out, mom and dad haven't been home the whole week. And he's going, he lives in a mobile home, and he sleeps under the mobile home. And he comes to school because that's where he gets his meals. And that's a reality today, that folks are still struggling with that. And then clothes, and here many of us have probably been guilty of hauling off just a trunk load of clothes to the Goodwill, some maybe even with tags still on them. But here, clothes was a real struggle. I can remember my father-in-law even talking about when they used to go out and pick out the flour sack. So they had 12 kids, and they could pick out the flour sack for the design that was on the flour, because mom would go home, and after they used the flour, they would take that cotton material, and they would make a shirt. And so they got to pick the flour sack. Does anybody remember the flour sacks? Yeah, see? So Jesus is saying, don't worry about the necessities of your life. And he picks out food, drinks, and clothes. But I remember, I imagine the context of our times, that we have necessities today of shelter and jobs and transportation and so many other things. And that he knows us, but still in that, we see in this passage three different times, do not worry. We actually see the word worry or some form of it five times, but do not worry, do not worry, do not worry in 25, 31, and 34. Those are the verses. But we see a fourth time and where he doesn't say, do you not worry, but he's in verse 27, he says, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Oh, if you've heard any kind of WebMD or anything like that about anxiety and worry, it doesn't add time to your life, but we know that worry removes time from your life. That's been proven and releases chemicals into the body. It consumes our thoughts, it disrupts our productivity, affects our attitude, and it literally can paralyze us, leads us into depression, and it changes us in so many different ways. There's absolutely nothing good about worry, and we all know that, don't we? I haven't told you anything new, but it's still difficult, but Christ tells us, do not worry. But then in the midst of this, in the first part of 26, the last part of 28, and verse 30, Christ leads us to look at things in creation, birds, lilies, grass of the field. And so our next point is where Christ tells us to consider God's creation. And maybe this will begin to help us in some of our worry. And we know we're not supposed to, and we're worried because we do. maybe that's true. Maybe that's why I was so quiet on that. But it says, consider God's creation. And he doesn't say that, but I'm bringing out the points. Consider the birds of the air. And then at the end of 28, where it says, observe how the lilies. And then in verse 30, but if God clothes the grass of the field. Imagine God's creation. Go back to Genesis 1. We aren't going to go back and read that right now. But go back to Genesis 1, where God spends some time, and he is creating the earth. Each day, it's its own thing. It's systematic. It's perfect. It's amazing when you look at it. And then on the up to 5.5 days, now he's creating all the livestock and the animals. He's already created the water and the land, the sun, the light, the stars, the moon. He's created the fish of the sea and all those things, the birds of the air. And then we get about after lunch on the sixth day. I do not know if it was after lunch. But I imagine it was the last thing, and it was on the sixth day. He creates mankind. He creates mankind, and he's created mankind in a little different than everything else. He's created mankind in his image. He placed us in the garden. Everything that he has made so far, everything that he has made so far is for the purpose of supporting mankind. And not only does it support mankind, but God puts them in charge of it. To take care of it, to manage it. And then they're walking around the garden, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody here, but they're so not worried about anything, they're even walking around naked, and they're not ashamed. I'm kind of thankful that things changed. But here, everything is made for man. Plants for food. He's present. He comes, and we see that after they sin, that he comes into the garden for his evening stroll, and he's looking for him. He wants to fellowship and talk with them, and so God was even present. The earth and all of it was made for us, and that we are the most important part of that is what we see here. But even when man sinned, we know that they were worried about their sin, and they put together some kind of fig leaf thing, and but we see that God is the one that actually made them their first clothing. And so God, even at that point, even in the midst of their sin, he was taking care of them. We could go on and we could talk about Israel and their 40 years and the fact that their sandals never wore out. Did y'all know that fact? You can find that. Their sandals didn't for 40 years. Let's find a pair of sandals today that could last for 40 days, right? Much less 40 years. And God even provided manna for him in that. But God's blessings, everything. He says, consider everything in creation. And that brings me to this next point in verse 3 that we find in verse 26. In verse 26, at the end of it says, are you not worth much more than they? And so you are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. I just want to settle in that just a moment. Here, in the midst of his teachings of do not worry, he says, consider these three things that are in my creation, things that are beautiful. And he says, but aren't you much more important than that? So I ask you today, what are you worrying about? You don't have to tell me. And it's a lecture. It wouldn't be appropriate for you to tell me. But what are you worrying about? Maybe it's something in your past, something that was said to you, maybe by a teacher, maybe by a parent, maybe by a friend. Maybe it's a bank account. Maybe it's just something that you really do want, that somebody's got something you've just been longing for, whatever. What are you worrying about? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's whatever. What are you worrying about? And I want us just to bask in the moment that you are important to God. You are important to God. More important than anything in this world, you are important to God. But Pastor, you don't know my sin. Did you remember what I just said there? When Adam and Eve sinned, God did cast them out of the garden, but even in the midst of their sin, he provided their first set of clothing. Even in their sin, where the Jesus had not come yet, even in their sin, they called out a man by Abraham, or Abram at that time, and he made a covenant with them that they would be his people, and then he took care of his people. There is nothing more important to you, more important to God than you. Nothing, everything. If you have a moment this afternoon, if you have a moment to get outside and there are healing, this is proven too, there's healing effects of just being in nature and just resting and breathing and looking around and look at the beauty of this world. beauty of this world. If you can't get outside, find something about National Geographic, this blue planet or whatever. The most beautiful all of all creation, God sees you. He loves you. Regardless of your sin, regardless of what you're worrying about, regardless of what you don't have, regardless of what you do have, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you haven't done, you are the most important thing to God in all the universe. Think about that. You. Often we miss the blessings because we forget who we are. And the beauty of all the creation that God has given us is to support us. And the reality, I mean, the reality of even this message that here Jesus is sitting on the side of this hill telling these people, hey, you can't serve both God and money, to not worry about your life, that God knows what you need. He's going to take care of you. The reality of his presence, of Jesus being there, was to die for them. He's saying, hey, don't worry. God knows what you need. He knows you need redemption. He knows you need all these things. And Jesus was there, and he was there. And John 3:16 tells us why he was there. Because he what? He loved us. He loved us. You are the most important thing to God, and whatever you are worrying about, he can take care of it. He can. That's the beauty of this passage. But as we see, just like any loving father, we get a rebuke in verse 30, and where he says there at the end with exclamation, he says, you of little faith. If I ask for a show of hands of who's ever been in a place where we have lacked in faith, mine would be the first to go up. But I imagine all of ours would go up. But here Jesus says, you of little faith. Don't we forget, and the enemy that we just talked about, the thing that the enemy in the world wants to do is make us forget that we have a God who loves us, a God who values us, a God who says, hey, above anything else, I value the mankind that I made. I've loved them so much that I have even sent my son Jesus to die for their sins, and so much that this time will pass, this time on this earth will pass. And he's going to wipe it away. But what's he going to do with his people? He's going to take them. He's going to take them. And he wants to live with them forever. Forever. All the things that we worried about, he can do. Remember, I wrote this verse down, not remembering that we're going to sing this song, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 32, he says, he knows you. He knows you. He knows your needs. I want to just take a moment here. We're not finished yet. We're almost. But I just want to take a moment and pray. I want you to take a moment and just silently pray, however you feel that, you're wanting to do that. And just think about what your worries are. And just lift them up to him for just a moment. You have to do that out loud. You can if you want. But just what are your worries? And then take a moment and just thank him that he loves you and he is capable. Nothing is impossible for him, whatever you are going through. Maybe it's emotional, maybe it's physical, maybe it's financial, maybe it's situational, it's relational, whatever it may be, he knows you. You pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, we thank you for your love. Lord, it's so easy to get so lost in this world, to get so lost in just the shuffle of this life, so lost in the materialism of this world that in our own pursuits that we forget really who we are, your creation, made in your image, loved more than anything in the universe. Lord, it is difficult to, as I even say this, Lord, it's hard to fathom that kind of love. But Lord, you love us so much Lord, you know all the things that we've been told, all the things that have shaped us to who we are, whether it's situations, whether it's choices, whether it's meanness of other people, whether it's the enemy, whatever it may be, Lord, that causes our worry, that causes our fear. I pray, Lord, you would set us free of it. Father, we thank you for your promise. We thank you, Lord, for this, the fact that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus Christ, and before he redeemed us, you gave him time, Lord, to teach us things such as this. And Father, whatever worry that limits us in this room, in our hearts, in this world, I pray, Lord, you would set us free. Lord, we sung just a moment ago about you being a God who breaks chains. Lord, whatever chains that we may have, that the enemy has put down, that we have put down, that situations has put down, that memories have put down, I pray, Lord, you would set us free from those, and that you would set us free, Lord, from this worry, Lord, that can hold us back. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember nothing as you leave today, remember that you are valuable to him, more important than anything. And so, well, what is the solution to worry? Don't we want to know that? Well, the solution to worry is still to, first to realize who we are as God's creation. But the solution to worry we find in verse 33, where it says, "But," and so it's a contraction, not a contraction. It's something else that it says, "Don't do that." But now you need to seek first His kingdom, and so that's our first part. Seek His kingdom. What does that mean, to seek his kingdom? Is first turn to God for help. What are you worrying about? As soon as it pops in, Lord, I'm worried about this. Lord, this has caused fear. Lord, I'm concerned how I'm going to meet this need. Lord, I'm inadequate for this. Lord, I don't have what it takes, whether it's finances, with whatever it could be. Lord, I need your help. Oh, it's easy to say. But sometimes we just don't think about that until right at the very end. Lord, I've done all that I can do, so now I've come to you. Oh, no, Lord, I come to you before I start doing all this. Guide my steps, Lord. Provide for me. I tell you what, if we do that, we'll have more praises. Though we would have more praises if we sought him in the midst of our troubles. And then you wouldn't have prayer requests anymore. You just have a bunch of praises. And said, Lord, I'm sick. Help me. Lord, I don't have enough. Help me. Lord, you know my needs. Help me. Oh, seek first the kingdom of God. Again, remember the garden? I mean, while they were there, they were there to fellowship with the Lord. Pray. That's what he wants us to do. Next, what do we do? Is fill our thoughts with his desires. What do? We get in the Word of God with that. Imagine if his desires became our desires and we began to pray according to his will, and he's going to meet those needs, and then boom, man, we're just tracking with God. Oh, in the times that we have, and I imagine we all have experienced that at some point, those are awesome times when we're tracking with God. And the times that we get off, like, God, where are you? Same place you left me. Ah. Fill our thoughts with his desires. Oh, we got to get in the Word. We got to turn to God for help. That means we got to talk to him about everything all the time. And then we got to observe and obey God in these things. Oh, you know, you're like, well, Pastor, I don't know at all. We just do what you know. If we're obedient with the things that we do know, then God is going to take care of the rest. No. Observe and obey. Worship hasn't happened until we are obedient to those things that we know. In verse 33, we see first, like we just talked about, seeking first his kingdom. There's a three steps. Then there's so much more to it. And then next is, and his righteousness. His righteousness. I tell you, our righteousness is non-existent. The scripture is clear in the Old and New Testament that mankind has no righteousness. And if we did have any, it would fall so short, because we are sinners. But he sent Jesus Christ in to seek his righteousness. When we are doing this, it starts off with salvation. That the only place we can find that salvation is through Jesus Christ, who we know traded his life for our life, and that through faith in him, we are made clean and we become his righteousness. Let's read, and it'll be our final passage in Philippians 3, verse 7. It'll be on the board. Philippians 3. We're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to look through 14. But it says, Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi, he says, but whatever things were gained in me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. It is through Christ. It is through faith. In verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He's talking about eternal life here. Verse 12, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. And this is getting to those steps. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This seeking his righteousness, it is a journey and it is a pressing on. These things are still going to come. Just because we had a sermon today and we read, do not worry, and we know that Jesus Christ has taken care of anything and God thinks that we're the most important thing. I was about to say since sliced bread, but even before sliced bread was made, he loves us. Even though we know these things, the battle is still going to be real. The enemy, we can blame some of it on him, but the flesh and the way our own psyche and our own struggles have, but here we can press on. We find in Scripture, we press on. Our righteousness, first of all, is only through Jesus Christ. I tell you what, this worry or getting over this worry that we're talking about, it cannot happen until you've come to a place of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I trust and imagine that most of us that are gathered here, we have come to that point. But if you have not come to that point, and today Christ or the Holy Spirit is prompting you, I encourage you. Our purpose is eternal life. That's our purpose. That's why we live, not just to get as much in this life and to finish with the most or just survive to the very end and do a little bit better than mom and dad and grandpa and grandma. No, our purpose is eternal life. And so when the tough times come, we press on. Paul's talked about how he pressed on. We find the example in Scripture of what it means to press on. What else did we read here? Forget what's behind. Oh, what's behind? He's talking about your past. What's in your past? What's happened in your past? What has shaped you to be the person that you are today? What is holding you back? When you press on, you gotta forget what is behind you. Call it baggage. I've heard it's called. We set it down at the cross. I'm thinking about the pilgrim. What's the book? The Pilgrim's Progress. You remember Christian? If you've read that, if you haven't read that, I encourage you to get a modern translation and read that. I remember the baggage that they were carrying. They got to get rid of the baggage. Christ can take away the baggage. How we press on, we forget what's behind, and we reach forward to what lies ahead. Well, what does lie ahead? Well, it'll be revealed by the Holy Spirit, and it will be revealed through God's Word. But we got to be a people that press on, and pressing on is hard, and pressing on takes us all, because sometimes pressing on gets so overwhelming that we need a brother or sister to pick us up and to keep moving forward. I'm thinking about Pilgrim's Progress, Larry. That might be one that we need to take the men through. That's a great book if you haven't read it. Press on, and not only press on, but what did we read in this passage? But it says press on toward the goal that God has for us through Christ. Oh, we got to seek it. We got to seek it. We got to seek it. And we got the opportunity to flood our life with 20 hours a day of different news and TV. I say 20. Actually, it's 24. Hopefully, you at least get 4 hours of sleep a night, but without the TV on. But we have opportunities to flood our life with so much, and we have to get away. Remember that we are God's creation. Get away from all that man-made stuff, and we got to get alone with God and say, "What do you have for me today? This is what I'm worried about. This is what I'm struggling with. Lord, what is the way? How do I press on? Lord, how do I reach forward? Lord, what is the goal that you have for me through Christ today?" That's what he means here about seek first his kingdom and to seek his righteousness. It's only through Christ. The big idea today is don't worry. Jesus' message is simple. Don't worry. Have faith in God and seek him always. Always.